This is Bruin Radio, a weekly student show from Brookings Harbor High School on the Wild Rivers Coast. By tuning into our show, you're getting the latest news, interviews, music, poetry, and more from the outstanding Bruins of Brookings Harbor High School. We are happy to broadcast on KCIWLP in Brookings, Oregon on 100.7 FM.
This is Bruin News with Isabella Freitas and
Bridget Mitchell and
Dane Tipman. Last Friday, the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School went through a practice lockdown drill in their classrooms. This wasn't specifically about active shooters. This was a lockdown drill just to get everybody trained up on what they need to do when such an event might take place. Ms. Freitas, tell me, what was the lockdown drill like for you in your classroom?
Well, in my classroom, we started by closing the door, making sure it was locked, and then we covered the door window so that no one would be able to see in, and then we moved away as far as we could from the door and other windows, and then we laid down on the floor so that there was like a less likely chance that we would be seen.
You know, in my classroom, we did some of the same stuff. My students, we looked at the doors, and we actually looked at entry and exit points. Where can people get in? Where can we get out if for whatever reason we needed to? We looked at actually the way our doors worked. You know, do they open inward? Do they open outward? Is there a way to try and block the door in addition to making sure that it's locked? And we also talked about how people outside the school can get into our school. We looked at how we might defend ourselves. What kinds of things do we have in the classroom that we could use to try to protect each other if we need to? And definitely how the students should listen to their teacher in their classroom or whatever the adult is present. I think it was definitely worth the time to talk to the students about safety during something like an active shooter event. Ms. Freitas, do you think the event was worth it?
Yes, I think it was definitely necessary and useful to review what we would do if an actual lockdown were to occur.
So today was a safety drill, and this is what happened. We all got into one side of the corner of Ms. Hall's room, and there was a couple of kids who were on their phones playing a bunch of gun sounds because, you know, it's funny. Anyways, they were just blasting it through the room, and afterwards, Miss Hall looked at everybody and was like, a way to tell the gunsmen where we are. And yeah, that's what happened.
So would you say this was not productive as a lockdown practice drill should go?
Not in my classroom. I know in Miss Biscatello's, they had a very, very in-depth conversation afterwards about why it is that we do it and what it's for and stuff like that. So I know it was probably productive for the junior class.
We have some anonymous student thoughts to share about gun control. These students wanted to say what they think, but they didn't want their name shared. The students stated that there should be a balance of gun control laws. They think that the more guns a person has, the more likely it is that they're going to use a gun for violence. Guns should be illegal if they are designed for mass killing, like fully automatic guns or guns that shoot very far. They think that a background check should take place before a person can buy ammunition, and they believe that ammo can be sold at department stores like Fred Meyer. Buying a lot of ammunition should raise a red flag of some kind. The student believes that the National Rifle Association has a lot of power to push for legislation and believes that the NRA has pushed for weaker background checks on gun owners. The student hesitated when asked if the government should seize their weapons, but gradually came to agree and suggested that the person should be compensated for the weapon seized.
Another student thinks that background checks should be more extensive and should look for anything that a person has ever done wrong. The same student thinks that NRA and President Trump are not to blame, as they are not the ones shooting people. They say that this is a democratic country and that president can't just wipe out guns. The Florida shooting did not change the students' feeling about gun control. They believe that the shooting in Florida was preventable and that FBI had been given tips about the shooter before the shooting, and the information didn't get to where it needed to go. The student further believed that school shootings can be stopped, but they won't. the amount of work required won't happen. People don't live long enough and don't try hard enough. And there is so much red tape and litigation in the way.
What do you guys think about that?
Well, I feel like they have some good points.
They have some good points. I mean, yeah, the FBI was given the information by that one guy that had a YouTube comment from that guy.
Yeah, they say that it won't happen, but I feel like it could happen. They could just, like, they could start small and then generation after generation keep going. Like, you don't have to do it all at once. It'd be nice if it was, they tried starting to make it a little bit harder for people to shoot up a school. Just saying, I'd rather be
I want to be safe in my school.
I would like to make it as hard as possible for people that want to shoot up schools. Like, people are like, oh, if people want to get a gun, they'll just get one. Well, you can make it harder for them. You can make it harder. I mean, you can make it harder for them.
Really could make it a lot harder.
Another student thinks that all gun owners should have licenses and that they should receive a mental health check every 6 months to maintain the license. The student couldn't define gun culture, and they say they have no experience with guns. They've seen people find joy in using guns. The student has used a bow and arrow, and they know what it feels like to hit a target.
Yet another student stated that criminals don't follow laws. If you take away guns, then good people won't have guns, and criminals will. The student stated that the NRA is just a group. They believe that if someone is going to go out and kill people, Donald Trump isn't going to change that. The person will just use knives or something else.
I'd rather a mass murderer come in with a knife instead of trying to shoot me.
Well, yeah, because if it's a knife, then I have an easier chance of blocking it.
If it's a knife, then I can run away. If it's a gun, I can't just run away. They'll just get me as I'm running away.
Yeah, you can't block a bullet, but you can block a knife stab.
I'm a very nervous person. I have thought about this a lot. Okay.
If someone were to come at me with something that is physical...
I know, I'd rather they come at me with a knife than a gun. Like,
and I feel it's more human to come at someone with a knife because it makes it more physical than just looking down a barrel and pulling a trigger. Another student states that the NRA is not to be blamed. But the shooter is not the only one responsible. They believe that mainstream media coverage of shooters can make potential shooters desire fame or infamy, believing they will go down in history.
Another student thinks that guns should be regulated, but shouldn't be taken away. They weren't quite sure what regulation should look like. They did believe that bump stocks should not be allowed unless a person has a permit or they're trained. Another student thinks that a mental health test should be required to own any gun. And if you take hunter safety, you should also be required to have a mental health test. They believe that a person should pay for the mental health test, and that the mental health test ought to be a written test.
They shouldn't have to pay for a mental health test. I don't think you should have to pay for a test that tests...
But it might discourage people from getting a gun, just because...
Well, yeah, but...
Don't you pay for a driver's license?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a lot. It should be, like, as much as you pay for a driver's license. Like, I don't think that's much.
Anything the government does, someone's got to pay for the time of the staff to process the license. And
I have not bought a license.
And remember, when you do a mental health test, even if it's written, someone has to grade the test.
I think it's $45.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I think that's okay. I think that is reasonable for wanting to own a weapon.
Another student said that they think you should look at the person who did the shooting. They stated that a gun is only a tool. If you set a gun on a table, the gun is not going to go off. Someone must pull the trigger. They believe that the media coverage of the shooter was somewhat overhyped, and this may lead to more shooters in the future.
Well, yeah, it may lead to other shooters, but it also shows other people what it's like to be shot at.
The same student supports the NRA, and they stated that the NRA does not agree with shooters. The student believes that you should be able to protect yourself and provide for your family, and the student is a lifetime member of the NRA. They say that donations to politicians isn't the student's favorite thing, but if it keeps land open for hunting, and if politicians promote land being open for hunting, that's a good thing. The student thinks that gun safety is more important than just owning a gun, and they think that it's the person, not the gun, that's responsible.
True. But also, nobody needs an AK-40.
Nobody needs a semi-automatic weapon.
Yeah, nobody needs a gun that could potentially automatically shoot somebody. I feel like you could have like a shotgun or a hunting rifle or something like that.
There are legitimate reasons to have a hunting rifle. Like some people like hunt a deer so they have more food for the winter or whatever.
Exactly.
But they don't need a semi-automatic weapon to get a deer, I think.
No,
Actually, I've never gotten a deer, so I probably shouldn't say that.
I used to go hunting with my dad all the time.
Do you need a semi-automatic weapon?
No.
Okay.
No.
They don't need that.
No, you don't need it. I mean, the deer aren't out there like Kevlar vests. Like, deer aren't like taking cover and throwing antlers at you or anything.
I mean, I wish that would have made it a lot more interesting.
So why do you think that it's this shooting instead of the many others prior that has gotten more people to speak out about it and want to do stuff to raise awareness?
Well, it has to do with also our age, because now we're actually old enough to take on situations like this. But it also has to do with the students who survived the shooting that's out there talking about this, doing stuff about this. And plus, we have a lot more social media. I mean, I was there looking over one of my friend's shoulder the day that it happened, and I saw everything that was going on Snapchat. So we're able to actually see these type of things and see what it's really like to be in a situation like that.
Do you think it has to do with a generation difference?
Yes, very much so. I know that there's a lot of adults that are out there that don't really think much about it because they're, I don't know, they just don't. But our generation tries to be more outspoken about stuff like this.
The Brookings Harbor High School robotics team 4110 has bagged and tagged its robot. This means the bot in its current state had to be sealed up and locked with a number tag so that could not be further modified before the first FRC competitions in March. Our team's initial competitive event will be in Wilsonville, Oregon on the 8th, 9th, and 10th of March. The competition itself is a video game-themed activity involving power-ups, power cubes, bots lifting themselves several feet in the air, and bot piloting and maneuvering skills. We'll share the location of the live stream for the game once that information becomes available. Congratulations, Robotics Team 4110.
The robotics team also held its Surf and Turf fundraiser dinner at SWOC last Saturday evening. According to event organizers, the night was a fantastic success, with over 100 people attending and with a silent auction featuring a variety of items. The robotics team thanks all the donors, attendees, and volunteers who made the event possible. Bruin Radio plans to give you a full report on the fundraiser in next week's episode.
Congratulations to our Bruin Pride Students of the Month for February. They are Adam Shu,
Destiny Qualley,
Amber Boulay,
and Briggs Schofield.
Thanks for showing your Bruin Pride every day.
What?
Don't know.
Okay. No, we'll use that take.
Okay. Up in one of the main hallways, there is a new display put up by the LGBTQ+ and Straight Alliance Club that shows what students put down during No Name Calling Week on the little slips of paper, and they show the nicest and the meanest things said to people in our school.
Hopefully this will open everybody's eyes to what is said in this school and what is not said in this school. Hopefully the nice things make you feel better, but also you guys do need to look at the bad things because this is said to people.
We put this display up because we wanted to show the duality of what is said to students in our school, and we wanted to make people more aware of the really cruel and mean things that can be said in our school, because some people don't know what is said. Like, some people think that nothing mean is ever said in our school, and we just wanted to showcase that sometimes there are really mean things said to people.
The bullying here is pretty mild from what I've seen,
but it still happens, and I feel like sometimes there is a lack of trying to stop it.
Yeah, there's sometimes when people will just look the other way when I'm just sitting there going, wow, that shouldn't have happened. We should probably stop this. So, like, I was in my stress relief PE class, and I was so stressed I had to eat some food.
That is so terrible. You should never do that, because that is against the school policy.
Well, and it was stress relief, and I was hungry.
No, that is bad. You should not. You should wait until a more appropriate time.
What's the most appropriate time?
During then? Lunch, not in the gym.
Well, what if I'm hungry before lunch?
Then you should ask to leave the gym, because the gym is not for eating.
Listeners, do you have a special talent? Do you have something that you'd love to show people that you can do? You need to know about the Brookings Harbor Community Theater Talent Show. Open to all ages, this talent show is looking for local acts to sign up. Not only will you have the fun of sharing your talent with an audience, you may even win a prize. The talent show itself will be on March 9th at 7 p.m. You need more details, and you can get them by calling or texting 541-661-4290 or emailing bhctheater@gmail.com. That's bhctheater@gmail.com for the Brookings Harbor Community Theater Talent Show. This week on March 1st, Thursday, is the scholarship application deadline. Most, if not all, scholarships have a deadline time of March 1st. Seniors, you've got to get those scholarships in. That deadline is fast approaching. Here is Angela Acosta announcing the launch of her senior project.
For my senior project, I decided to go through the $1 for Life and Days for Girls organizations to help young girls in Africa. In Africa, these young girls are uneducated on their menstrual cycle. They barely have any education at all. Every cent donated to the project will provide a kit with 8 washable and reusable pads, 2 exterior waterproof shields, 2 pairs of panties, 1 washcloth, soap, and a discreet bag for transport. In America, we are oblivious to the fact that this is a problem for women in developing countries, even though it affects over 50% of the population. The project is rated high priority based on girls dropping out of school because of their menstrual cycle. The goal of the project is to raise enough money to buy 10,000 kits to girls in Nepal, South Africa, Zambia, Kenya, and Malawi. $1 for Life and Days for Girls are both nonprofit organizations. $1 for Life usually focuses on providing education and building schools for developing countries, and Days for Girls spends every cent they make on the kits that the Girls Equality Project will be making. The organizations are going to send women to Africa to teach the girls how to use the kit and further educate them on their menstrual cycle. I chose this as my EA project because I'm interested in philanthropy. A philanthropist is a person who works for charities or nonprofits. I want to go to PSU and study business management, then go on as a graduate student to study nonprofit business management. I think helping people in need is very important. I believe in doing things for the greater good. I'm very excited to start the fundraiser and help these girls. I know that if I were in their position, I would take any help I could get. Education is so important. Education on your body is even more important, especially as a young girl in a developing country. I will start the project March 5th and end it March 9th. I really appreciate everyone helping me in any way that they can.
The Brookings Harbor Lions Club has informed us that they have developed a new scholarship available to graduating and returning students of our area. It is called the Brookings Harbor Lions Club Student Scholarship Application.
Senior students of Brookings Harbor High School, senior homeschool students, senior Christian school students, and continuing students may apply for this scholarship.
Thank you, Brookings Harbor Lions!
Hello, Mr. Crosser. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure for being here.
Of course.
Mr. Crosser, how's the RPG Club going?
The RPG Club is exploding in a good way. There's been many new members recently, and they've recently completed a Dungeons & Dragons arc, and they're at a great jumping on point for new players. If you'd like to join the RPG Club, now's the time, especially if you're into Pokemon, because the next campaign is going to be a Pokemon-themed adventure.
And how do you come up with new themes?
This has been almost an entirely Akuma Owen project. He has DM'd the last Dungeon and Dragon campaign, and he is ready to set off again on a Pokemon-themed campaign once again.
Could you explain to us what Dungeons & Dragons and Pokemon is for our viewers?
Yeah. This is a pencil and paper and a physical dice game where students and players work together to create a story and use chance to determine particular outcomes. Sometimes it's with combat for good against evil. Other times it might be, I imagine, do you get to capture this Pikachu? And it's a really fun way to get together without a lot of technology in the way and to get together and have fun and socialize with your peers.
So I know that the RP and RPG stands for role-playing. So what is the role-playing aspect of the game exactly?
All right. So the role-playing for me is the most fun part of a role-playing game. It's a chance for you to play a character similar to which you might play a character on stage. Some students like to think up voices for their character. So I remember last campaign, there was a very boisterous fighter that would talk really roughly like this, and he would try to get into his character by really making himself sound tough and mean and big. And other characters like to change their voice up so that they sound a little bit meeker. So maybe this might be somebody that is a dwarf cleric or something that's a little bit different. And so it's a chance for students to explore a little bit, have some fun, and think about things that they don't normally act like, right?
So it's like acting up on a stage and being given a part and then you play it out.
Exactly, yeah. Only you get to decide what your character is and how your character reacts in real time instead of having a script.
If a new player wanted to get involved, where should they go?
Come on down to room 103. Mondays during lunch and Thursdays during lunch are great times to come in and see what it's like. There's some planning times during lunch. And then after school on Thursday and after school on Monday is the chance to really get involved for a full hour of role-playing.
So, Mr. Crosser, what is your goals as a math teacher this year?
Thank you. Well, as always, with any years, my goal is to get as many students to a mastery level of their particular standards that they're working on. So that looks a lot different for each student, and I try to take wherever they are and improve their skills as much as possible so that by the end of the year, they are ready to test and, more importantly to me, understand the material to be able to be successful for this year and be ready for next. Whatever that might be, whether that's going on to the next class or possibly graduation and college.
So what else do you do?
I have a couple of kids aged 11 and 6, and they take up a lot of my time in the best way. For example, tomorrow, Saturday, is basketball day, and I'll be taking my son to his game at 10 o'clock tomorrow, and then my daughter, she'll play at 1:30 down in Crescent City, and that'll be pretty much Saturday for us, and I enjoy that a lot because I get a chance to see them grow as not only students and kids, but as athletes as well. So I'm really into that recently.
So would you say that the role-playing RPG type community is like a way to make other friends too?
Absolutely. It's a great way to make friends, especially because you're working together to do something that's creative. And it's a way for you to engage with each other on a really unique level where it's the goal is to have fun. And I think that really forges strong friendships.
So is it possible to make enemies in role-playing?
Well, the answer is yes and yes, unfortunately. You can behave in a way during a role-playing game that might not be conducive to the whole group being successful. So an example of that is something called power gaming, where a particular character might try to take control of the whole group in detriment to the entire group of themselves. And that might get on some people's nerves. So it's nice to be able to talk out of character about problems that you might have at the role-playing table so that you can solve problems together and be able to work together as a group more effectively. Sometimes that has to happen. And it's pretty rare that that doesn't solve the problem. But sometimes you might make an enemy and you might have to ask that player to leave. I've had that happen only once in my very long career of role-playing.
So did you choose Dungeons & Dragons because it's your favorite to play with multiple people or because it's very popular?
I think that the students that are playing chose Dungeons & Dragons because it is the popular choice for a role-playing game. It's probably a good one to jump into. It's not the easiest role-playing game to get into mechanically, though. The mechanics of a game are what you have to do in order to determine what happens randomly. In Dungeons & Dragons, you roll a D20, which is a 20-sided die oftentimes, and you compare that to a lot of different numbers that you have on your character sheet that describes your different abilities and powers that your PC has. There's some systems out there, Fate Core, for example, that's much more simplified and there's less numbers to worry about. And they're more story-driven that players work together to create the story in that type of game. So I would love it if students could try other systems. We haven't quite gotten there yet.
Well, Mr. Kratzer, thank you for coming into our show and letting us interview you.
Anytime. It's a pleasure for me to talk about games with you. And if you want to come down to the role-playing club, 103 Monday or Thursday lunchtime.
And that's it for this week's Bruin News.
Congratulations to our Bruden Pride.
Our Puddin Pride? Our Bruden?
Okay. Congratulations to our Bruin Pride Students of the Month for February.
I think you said prided. So it's okay. If you go a little slower, you'll get it.
Okay. It's called the Brookings Harbor Lions Club Student Scholarship Application.
It's called the?
It's called the Brookings Harbor. Okay. So we have an actress in the studio with us today. I don't know what to say afterwards.
You really could make it a lot harder.
And scroll.
And plus.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry.
Oh, all right. We'll bake for the britches.
That was a little bit worse than my.
Please scroll the page. Please. Okay.
All right. You have fun with this. Yeah.
My face. Well, I don't know why it hurts
red.
Be
nice to her. She's going to yell at me again.
My mother.
Scroll down.
Sorry.
So.
I meant please.
I'm sorry.
My dear teacher.
You've just heard Bruin Radio, a half-hour student-focused program brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
You're listening to KCIW LP in Brookings, Oregon, broadcasting on 100.7 FM.